Hello, and welcome to the Architects of Destination Advocacy podcast from Destinations International, the trade association representing destination organizations around the globe, brought to you exclusively by Relic Agency as part of the Destination Marketing Podcast Network. I'm your host, Andreas Weisenborn, and welcome you for checking out our podcast. For each episode, we want to tell the story of both usual and unusual suspects in our sector's history and the key advocacy moments for them. These stories are meant to tell the tale in full, covering many of our strategic issues and opportunities our sector faces, whether it be community alignment, destination stewardship, resilience, or actions based on values. We hope you listen in and learn from your peers. With that, let's get to the show. Hello and welcome back. First, a bit of housekeeping before we get on to the show at large. Hopefully you all saw the announcement. A couple weeks ago, we announced annual convention. Registration is open for July in Tampa Bay, Florida. Hopefully many of you listeners can join us there as part of our big annual show. So please make sure to check our website at destinationsinternational.org. Last year, we did sell out. So I'm highly recommending when you hear this message, go to our website, register. Hope to see you there in Florida. The second is as well related to this report, Destination Promotion, a Catalyst for Community Vitality is available right now on our website. If you go to the main page, you'll see the executive summary is there freely available to download. But as a member, you can click through that and sign in. You'll get a full extensive copy of the report. So again, we'll put all, both of those in the show notes, but just want to make that aware for our listeners before we begin the show. So with that, welcome to a special 2 of 3 podcast episode arc around the release of our brand new research study, Destination Promotion, a Catalyst for Community Vitality. This report really emphasizes the pivotal role of destination organizations in shaping the economic and cultural landscape of communities far beyond the realms of traditional tourism. Really, our discussion today will unravel how these organizations act as catalysts for a broad spectrum of economic benefits. The research and analysis provided by Tourism Economics, Longwinds Internationals, Clarity of Place, and MGY Next Factor, you can see the Avengers roster here, this report really illuminates the extensive catalytic economic impacts of destination promotion. We really want this episode to share those perspectives on how strategic destination marketing not only enhances the visitor experiences, but significantly contributes to the overall economic vitality, quality of life, and cultural richness of our communities, fostering economic growth, cultural development, and community well-being. Join me in welcoming one of those destinations from the study, as well as one of the research partners who helped work on this project. So welcome to the show, Michael Crockett, President and CEO from Ottawa Tourism, and returning to the show now is a new role, Cassandra McCauley from MGY Next Factor. Michael, Cassandra, welcome to the show.
Thanks very much, Andreas.
Thanks, Andreas.
This is the special Canadian episode as well, so I appreciate both of you appearing on together. So a little bit before we get into the questions, a little bit of background in your current roles for the listeners. So I'll ask Michael if you go first. Just talk a little about your background and your entry into the tourism space and your current role with Ottawa, and then Cassandra updating us on your new role with MGY Next Factor. So Michael, you're up first.
It's great. Thanks, Andreas. And I'm one of those people who kind of found their way the long route to get to the tourism industry. So my background is mostly in the aviation world. I worked for airports for many, many years. I worked for Winnipeg Airport and then the Ottawa Airport Authority for a number of years. And then I did a little bit of tourism and aviation consulting before finding my way to Ottawa Tourism in 2016. And so I'd always been involved in some way in tourism because aviation, airports, and business development are all very closely related at the community level to what a destination organization is doing. So I'd been on the board of Ottawa Tourism and done some volunteering and some other work together and partnerships as well. So to me, it was maybe more of a natural than it might have been for other airport or aviation people to want to get involved more directly on the tourism side of the business, on the destination organization side of the business. But it took me a while to get there. But boy, it's an incredible place to be and a fantastic organization that we've built. Very proud of what we continue to build here. A very diverse and innovative organization with a really strong success-based funding model that works well for us as well. So great team, great stakeholder support, and loved having a chance to be involved, have our destination be involved in this study too. Just a great way for us to get engaged in what we think is our purpose for being and working with our community.
Thank you, Michael. Listeners can't see this, but I do want to point out the incredible model airplanes you do have behind you. So take it where you go, I guess.
Love it. You can take the boy out of the airport, but you can't take the airport out of the boy.
Well said. Cassandra, moving to actually returning to the show, this time in a new role with MGY Next Factor. Would you mind kind of updating us on your current roles and responsibilities since we last talked to you?
Yeah, you bet, Andreas. So the last time I was on this podcast, I was excited to be representing Tourism Calgary and talking about the process that we went through in Calgary to develop the destination strategy there. And that was, oh gosh, probably 4 years ago now. And fast forward through that time, I joined MMGY Next Factor a few years ago. And recently at the beginning of 2024, became managing director of the firm as our founder, Paul Wimet, has started slowly to transition into an advisory capacity. And so really grateful to be able to serve in this new role and to work with all of the destinations that we do, with all of our partners and with our executive consultants and our team that we have. One of the great joys that we have is to work with so many destinations, and it was a real great opportunity to participate in this study and share the insights that we have and the relationships, as well as how we bring Destination Next and that program into the broader spectrum of outlining the DMO role in developing economic vitality, quality of life, and all of those elements that you spoke to, Andreas. And so grateful to be here and thrilled to be here with Michael.
Absolutely. Thank you so much both for your introduction. So we're going to start off in the report. Michael, I have you first up, but so let's talk a little bit about actually the exclusive role and collaboration between Ottawa, the local government, and your other stakeholders. Now, it's important to point out, geography lesson, Ottawa is the capital. So you have that extra little special sauce, special ingredient as part of your responsibilities. You might talk a little bit about some of these partnerships when you first got there, how they've formed and evolved and maybe changed over this period of time with you in Ottawa.
Yeah, thanks, Andreas. And you're right. Ottawa being the capital, but also being right on the border between Ontario and Quebec, two provinces, it is a very unique environment. So we really have two cities here. We have Ottawa and we have Gatineau, which is on the Quebec side of the river. We have two cities, two provinces. Being the national capital, we also have the federal government playing a very significant role in this community, uniquely large from a tourism perspective as well, because they own many of the tourism assets that we have in this community, whether it's the national museums, the parliament district, parliamentary precinct. There's also an entity called the National Capital Commission, which has oversight over any federal land in the National Capital Region. So there's many, many layers that do come into play in Ottawa that aren't necessarily part of the reality for a lot of other destinations. And so that makes us have stakeholder engagement at the forefront of what we do. And it really emphasizes the importance of having that unified voice that really becomes a significant priority for our organization and for our destination. We know we have to deal with, you know, both provinces, both cities, the federal government, many departments within the federal government as well. All of those entities can impact the visitor economy and can impact our place brand as well. And the other thing that gets accentuated by having so many different stakeholders at the government level alone is that they don't all necessarily understand each other's roles, and they also don't necessarily all understand their own role from a tourism perspective. But not all of them think that they're in the tourism business, which is also significant in a region where we have to bring those stakeholders all together. And sometimes, you know, the province of Ontario might think less about Ottawa because we're not the provincial capital. The provincial capital is in Toronto, so the provincial government might think less about Ottawa than they do about Toronto, and thinking that the federal government will take care of it. And of course, both of those government levels should be complementary to one another, along with the city, not necessarily substitutes for one another. But yeah, we are able to make it work. We do work very hard with all of those stakeholders, along, of course, with our industry stakeholders. And there's a few interesting examples that I think are relevant for that discussion. One is our parliamentary building, our center block, which is the main location where the Canadian government takes place, number one attraction in our community, is undergoing a decade-long renovation. It's closed, and it's going to be taken apart brick by brick and rebuilt brick by brick, which means it's going to have construction hoarding around it for a very long period of time. But that's the that building is the money shot that Canadians want to come and get their photo taken with when they come to Ottawa, when they come to the capital. They want that building in the background. And having it covered by scaffolding and tarps is not the photo op that Canadians want to have when they come here. And we worked for literally years with the federal government to convince them to cover the construction scaffolding with what's called, in French, the term is a trompe-l'œil, which is essentially an image of the building covering the scaffolding so that people can still come and get their money shot, that photograph that they want to have, that bucket list photo in front of the Parliament building. And again, the government, anything that's adding cost to a project is not attractive to them, especially if it has nothing to do with the benefit of the actual construction side of it. And they did not see themselves as being part of the tourism business. But we were able to demonstrate to them that their decisions on something as seemingly trivial as that to them could have very significant impacts on hundreds of tourism businesses and workers in this community. And so today, if you come to the city, you can see that the construction is taking place, and indeed they have erected the trompe-l'œil around it. And so we're still able to enjoy the beauty of that building, and people can still get their photo that they want to have when they do come to our community. So proud of those relationships that we've been able to build from the industry side of things with those government stakeholders here as well.
I appreciate your perspective. One thing I forgot to bring up, but you already pointed it out, is part of your brand and messaging, you also have to deliver that in two different languages. What is that like, just from an internal comms perspective, and you know, just even public speaking component? What is that like, just internally managing that responsibility?
Well, Andreas, nobody can outdo your French skills that you showed us at the Advocacy Summit last
year. Too kind.
I wouldn't even try. But it is, yeah, we have two official languages in Canada and here in Ottawa being one of the more bilingual cities in the country. So it is important for us from a community perspective and from a stakeholder perspective to be able to communicate many of our initiatives in both official languages. I'm not bilingual myself, but I can speak French well enough to do public speaking and to have some basic conversations. But we do have a lot of our staff are fully bilingual, and many of them are French first. What we also tell people is that we communicate with audiences in the language that's important to the audience. And so, yes, often it's French and English, but often it's German. Sometimes it can be Dutch, it can be Mandarin, it can be Cantonese. So there's lots of other languages that our staff speak as well that are important for us to get our message across. But from a community perspective and from an advocacy perspective, absolutely French and English, all important communications from us are in both official languages here for sure.
Appreciate it, Michael. Cassandra, moving next to you. Obviously, you heard from me a little bit of your intro. Now you sort of have the fun added responsibility is not just one destination, but managing and engaging with several. When you were assigned to the project and got to work with Ottawa, I actually wanted to hear your perspective of, especially many of the Destination Next assessments and destinations you work with. Anything that you uncovered that was not initially on your radar, and anything that surprised you or challenged assumptions on Ottawa before that?
Well, you know, I think Michael gave such a great overview there. And one of the underlying and really important elements about Ottawa and Ottawa tourism is that they have such a complex destination. You heard Michael talk about the fact that they are a multi-jurisdictional destination. They have all orders of government represented. And then they have the additional complexity of being a multilingual destination. And so when you consider all of that, and you consider the fact that, you know, as Canadians, we're very proud of Ottawa, and Ottawa is very known as an amazing festival and event destination. But for me, what was really fascinating through this process is, again, diving deeper into all of that stakeholder engagement. And as Michael spoke to that about how they take such a forward approach to stakeholder engagement, how critical that is, I was unaware of all of the new programs and applications and relationships that the organization had formed within the destination for the benefit of growing the visitor economy and developing economic vitality in different ways. And so one of those things is Ottawa Tourism's focus on Indigenous entrepreneurship and how critical that is and the efforts that they're taking in that area to equip Indigenous tourism businesses and really help them build those business skills and resources to be successful, which is a critical aspect of, again, thinking about different audiences and how do we engage them, not only from a resident perspective and a key stakeholder perspective, but then for inviting them in as our visitors and bringing visitors in for that aspect. But then when you think about that welcoming aspect and the diversity aspect that Ottawa Tourism has also undertaken with becoming a Rainbow Registered organization, all of the other efforts that they've done to really foster that inclusion, it goes back to the work that Michael talked about with all of the education that they undertake and how much work is being done to bring all of those stakeholders together with the brand, the unified brand approach that they've taken, and bringing those, that complex destination and all of the elements of that together to really showcase not only the destination and what it offers, but advancing that for the benefit of talent attraction. And we heard a lot about that through different interviews and different conversations with different stakeholders, including the Airport Authority and Invest Ottawa and others. But they're really focusing and taking that dedicated approach to bringing a very complex situation into view and having that focus on advancing the visitor economy.
Thank you, Cassandra. Michael, before I got the question, anything you want to add or pepper in from Cassandra's response?
Well, I think I'm very gratified to hear Cassandra talking about Ottawa that way. You know, it is it should be a place that all Canadians are proud of and see themselves reflected in as well. So it's I'm very, very proud to hear that, that that's how another Canadian sees our city.
Very kind. One of the things both of you now talked about is the concept of the brand. And, you know, the way the report really demonstrates is that a brand sort of hugs a community and it allows other societal, you know, common goods to be involved in their brand. One particular aspect of the report, particularly in Ottawa, talked a lot about was this Ottawa Adaptive Training Framework and really looking at how do we shape the workforce in tourism. Mike, I wanted to ask just a little bit more about what that was, what it meant for Ottawa, and, you know, how you've all been involved in helping prepare the workforce, but also making sure the brand of Ottawa is represented there.
Yeah, and I guess there's kind of two parts to that discussion. And on the labor side of things, what we've developed over the last couple of years, we're extremely proud of as well, is a program called Shine On, which includes both Shine On Academy, which is a frontline customer service training program, and we've seen many organizations in our destination embracing that, and we've seen many individuals in our community embracing that as well. It also includes the Shine On Awards. We actually just had our Shine On Awards in the last couple of weeks here. And it's a program that we actually adapted through a partnership with Tourism Calgary, with Cassandra's old organization, and very proudly to take one of the best programs in terms of preparing frontline workers for their role in destination knowledge and destination branding, and adapting it to an Ottawa-specific purpose. So it's an amazing things. We had a record crowd at our event a couple of weeks ago. So very, very proud of the impact that it's having on the workforce and on customer service in our community, and grateful to Tourism Calgary for sharing that with us as well. And it is an extension, I think, as you talked about, Andreas, of the brand and of the work that we've been doing for many years in partnership with our city government as well, trying to align all of Ottawa's brand messaging out there with the work that we did on Ottawa's place DNA and on our place identity and the people of Ottawa as well. And to have multiple entities buying into that and understanding what it means, what the value of the research that went into that and ensuring that it was authentically reflecting what Ottawa is has been really rewarding for our team. And so we did a lot of that research, a lot of that work together with the city, and you know, Cassandra's words about being proud of Ottawa as a Canadian is really what our brand is all about. It is about the best of Canada all in one place. And we can reflect all of Canada in our community we think better than any other single entity, any single destination in the country. And that should be a source of pride for Canadians. It should be a way for Canadians to see themselves reflected here as well. And we've taken all that research, shared it with our community, brand storybook that and toolkits that every business can use for their own brand storytelling. And what's really exciting is to see some of our partners starting to use that in the way that they talk about Ottawa. So, Cassandra talked about Invest Ottawa, a fantastic partner with us, and talking about the diversity as part of Ottawa's DNA. The Ottawa Board of Trade, when you hear them talking about things like downtown revitalization, and they're using some of our language and the tourism story to help with their advocacy work there as well. And, you know, maybe I'll touch on a couple of things. Cassandra did talk about Indigenous tourism, and that is an extremely important part of Ottawa's brand and Ottawa's community DNA. And supporting Indigenous tourism, supporting Indigenous entrepreneurs, that storytelling is part of our story. And that includes celebrating Indigenous history, but also includes acknowledging that Canada has had some pretty shameful aspects to our history in how our country has dealt with Indigenous people. And it's our responsibility, and not just Ottawa Tourism, but Canadians' responsibility to lead reconciliation through initiatives like supporting Indigenous tourism and Indigenous entrepreneurship as well. So we recently welcomed the World of Indigenous Tourism here to Ottawa, and had an incredibly inspiring week that we know is going to lead to more Indigenous tourism entrepreneurs taking that risk, finding the right supports to introduce even more authentic experiences into our community, which will further strengthen our brand as well. And maybe one last thing that's really fun is in Ottawa, our professional soccer team, our professional football team, it's called Atletico Ottawa. It's a partner with Atletico Madrid. And a few weeks ago, they introduced their alternate jersey that they'll be wearing when they're on the road. And their alternate jersey uses the visual identity of our organization. So if you know our logo, you've seen our logo, which has the radiant O. So this alternate jersey that they'll be wearing has radiant O's all over it. And the story of that jersey is about the inclusiveness and the diversity of Ottawa and the incredible partnership that we have with them. So I don't know if there's very many destination organizations that have their logo on a professional sports team's jersey without being a sponsor of it, but that's what we've got with Atletico Ottawa, which is very, very cool.
Oh, congrats. I did not know that. And I'm hoping a listener might know trivia, but I think you're correct. I'm not sure anyone else who does have their logo on it without sponsoring it. So well done. Congrats to you and the team for that.
Thank you.
Cassandra, I'm going to have a unique question for you because I want to leverage one of the many hats that I know you wear. So you've been past advocacy committee chair. You've managed director, MGY and expert helps herald our future study. But you are also, in the little spare time I know you have, are a CDME instructor. I've seen you for advocacy. I've seen you for economic development. Am I missing any? Just checking on that. Those are the two courses I think I've seen you speak at.
Yeah, those are them.
All righty. So I want to leverage the CDME portion of this to my next question. Mm-hmm. Your perspective on Ottawa and some of these other destinations, how would you see destinations are learning to leverage the brand for economic development? I spring that up because the last study, the prequel to this, was looking at destination promotion, an engine for economic development. It sounds funny to say it now that many 10 years ago didn't consider destination promotion is economic development. Well, we answered that. It is. But know that you have taught it before in CDME. How would you say Ottawa and other destinations can leverage their brand for economic development?
Well, you know, with Ottawa in particular, the way that they developed their coordinated city brand in partnership with the city of Ottawa, and then how they have developed their tools so that it becomes open source, so that all partners can use that and be part of it and look at the success. I mean, Michael, I love that story about the soccer jerseys, because what a great representation of the city. So that alignment is really critical. And we see that over and over again in the future study, understanding how having that broader alignment between government, economic development, and tourism helps us to develop our unique selling proposition and leverage that for the broader impact of destination development. That is absolutely critical. And, you know, when we think about that and think specifically about Ottawa, at the core of Ottawa, they are the nation's capital. And so they very much are a government city. But the work that they have done collectively with all of their stakeholders to diversify that and to ensure that they have diversified industries, that they have a diverse workforce, that they are really thinking about strategies to attract talent to the community is very fascinating to me. And the fact that Ottawa Tourism has even developed a destination development fund that is supporting that attraction of new experiences to the community and helping them get their legs. That's really critical. That is economic development. And that is supporting, again, all of those aspects. In the report, we talk about the halo effect. And these are all seeds to the halo effect, because it starts with one element, whether that be promotion or seed funding for an event, and then it ripples out. And that halo then contributes to other businesses. It contributes to all of those ancillary benefits that benefit from the visitor economy, but that also benefit from quality of life and having a great place for our residents to live and to work and to get out and experience and keep their money in their home destination. So there are so many of these exciting and really meaningful programs that many destinations are undertaking. You know, we're using Ottawa as a really great example, and they are truly a case study in this. But thinking about how we can continue to build out that halo effect and really highlight the strength of the relationship between economic development, our workforce diversity, and our visitor economy. They are all so critically interrelated.
Thank you, Sandra. Michael, for you and your team, you're responsible for managing a brand, a world-class destination with a world-class brand at the world stage. If others are looking up to you, you know, similar provinces, regional operators, anywhere in the globe, we're looking for advice how to replicate some of the success. Where would you start? What would you give them?
You know, when I work in the airport world, there is a saying that if you've seen one airport, then you've seen one airport, because each one is so unique from a community aspect, market aspect, and network aspect, service levels, and even things like layout and architecture. And it's kind of the same for our business, I think. If you've seen one destination, then you've seen one destination. Everyone has stakeholders, but they all interact in different ways in different places too. But there are a few things, I think. If any city destination organization, you can likely identify some really important partners where your mandates for economic development overlap with tourism's mandate for economic impact as well. And in our case, you know, an entity like the Ottawa Board of Trade, a super fit for us, because it's an advocacy organization specifically for business interests. And so there is a good amount of overlap between what they do and what their key messages are to government or media, and that we can help them include, for instance, the tourism message on some of those files as well. And they're great partners that way. And having those messages reiterated or reinforced by some of these partners out there who may not be traditional partners is a good thing. Sometimes repetition is that secret sauce that eventually helps to shape new policy or to help change ways of thinking about important issues too. So ask yourself, who are those symbiotic partners? And they might be the usual suspects, but they might not be the usual suspects as well. And how do you ensure that those partners are equipped with the right tourism messaging so that there can be that cohesiveness in the messaging? You want them to be repeating your words to other key stakeholders as well. And of course, it takes time. It takes effort. You've got to be consistent. You've got to be authentic with it as well. You know, we all have to keep in mind why we exist, and we exist to serve our communities. And this study that we're talking about today is maybe the best ever piece of research that shows that the work that we do truly does serve our communities in qualitative and quantitative ways. And whether it's the ROI on media spending, the visitor spending on non-tourism businesses, and Cassandra talked about the halo effect, and to be able to draw those lines for your partners about the work that we do as destination organizations and the impact that it has on talent attraction and foreign direct investment attraction and just economic growth for your community. Those are messages that your stakeholders need to hear, but also hopefully start to become messages that your stakeholders start to repeat as well. And that's going to be that's going to be a great day when we start to hear those messages from everybody in our own community about the impact that tourism has on talent attraction and FDI attraction as well. And you know, I think it is our responsibility to keep the community vitality wheel turning at the right speed for our community. And it's going to be different in different communities, of course. And community support is critical, because when the visitors are gone, the residents are still there, and they're the ones who are going to determine if we're moving the wheel at the right speed. And so I think every destination should keep their focus on that as well.
Amen, and well said. Cassandra, I'll pivot. Just anything you want to add to that component of what Michael shared?
I love the concept of turning the vitality wheel at the right speed for our destination. That's a really great way of putting it, because you're right. If you've seen one destination, you've seen one destination, and it is different in each community because we all have our own priorities. We all have our own political situations that we're facing, and our stakeholders are all at different places. And so understanding the right speed for our communities is really critical.
Perfect. Wonderful end cap to that conversation. Michael, Cassandra, thank you so much for joining today and your insights. If listeners want to reach out to you, find more about the work you do and, you know, the work of your organizations, where can they start? Michael, I'll start with you first.
Sure. Our website is ottawatourism.ca. We're easy to find on social media, and LinkedIn is a great place to get a hold of me personally as well.
Wonderful. Cassandra?
Yeah, same thing. LinkedIn is always a great way to get a hold of me. And Next Factor Inc. is our website. And Andreas, if I may just add, one thing that I think is really critical about this study is that everybody in our ecosystem, in the DMO world and in the roles that we play, I don't think that anybody will find any surprises in this report. I think that what we read it is we say, this is what I've been saying. I knew it. And this report provides context and detail and proof. And for us now to share it, I think it's incumbent on us to share it with our partners and our government leaders and our industry partners to help them understand and give that back up to what we have been saying for so long. I think that that's a really critical element of this. And we're really proud to have been part of it.
Absolutely. Speaking to the choir. Thank you so much for joining today. So thank you again for joining myself, Andreas Weisenborn, Michael Crockett, and Cassandra McCauley on this month's episode of the Architects of Destination Advocacy. Please make sure to subscribe within your podcast listening service to always catch the latest episode. To learn more about the work we do, please make sure to subscribe to our newsletter at destinationsinternational.org, or simply checking out our content throughout the AFC section on our website, or speaking at one of our upcoming events. Thank you, and we'll talk soon.